And now WOOC correspondent Mark Dunlay interviews Ron Deutsch about the issues and concerns regarding the process and impacts of the GOP tax bill.
We're here talking with Ron Deutsch, executive director of the Fiscal Policy Institute. Obviously, people are very concerned about what is going on at the federal level in terms of the various tax cut proposals that have been passed by the Senate and House. We've heard a lot of concerns about how the elimination or modification of deduction of state taxes will impact upon New York State. Ron, what are some of the other issues that groups like the Fiscal Policy Institute are concerned about?
Well, we're concerned about any number of issues in this tax bill. First and foremost, we're concerned about the fact that it tends to be stilted towards the wealthiest among us. They would probably be the ones that do the best. But it's really an interesting tax bill because I think, you know, it's got a lot of winners and losers. So some people in New York will do better than others, depending on the size of their family, their income levels, and a variety of other variables. So despite the fact that, you know, they're saying they want to simplify the tax code, in reality, what they're doing is just changing the tax code, and you're basically picking winners and losers. So you'll find that a lot of families in New York State are going to see tax increases. Some may see tax decreases. Some may see basically the same level of taxation. But the reality is that this definitely is stilted towards the wealthiest.
Now, there's been a fair amount of controversy about the speed that this tax bill has been moving forward. The Senate passed the bill literally in the middle of the night. There have been apparently no public hearings on this. Has the public really been given any opportunity to weigh in? And do lawmakers actually know what they're voting on?
You know, I think when they voted on this bill, they really had no clue as to what they were voting on. It was hundreds and hundreds of pages. And, you know, as many senators pointed out, you know, there were a lot of handwritten notations in the final bill as well. It's just no way to do business. I mean, I think when you're making these dramatic reforms and, you know, kind of once in a generation reforms to the tax code, it should be done in a much more thoughtful and deliberative fashion. So this notion that, you know, it has to be done at lightning speed, we have to deliver it to the president's desk before Christmas, you know, just is sad. It's a sad commentary on the state of politics right now. But I think they realize the more people know about this tax bill, the less support there is for it. And clearly, when you look at the public opinion polls, the majority of Americans aren't supporting this tax cut package. You know, they have some very real concerns. So, you know, the Senate and the House, you know, this conference committee process, quite frankly, is going to be a sham. I think, you know, all these decisions are going to be made at the top leadership levels when they try to reconcile some of the differences between the two bills. So, you know, the reality is what we really need to do is put the brakes on this process and hold some serious hearings to discuss what the impact is going to be. But it really seems like it's the blue states, if you will, that are taking it on the chin here. I mean, I don't think anybody can argue that fact. It's states like California, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Illinois, states with generally higher taxes at the local level and state level. But they're also the states that contribute more to the federal government than they get back in services. So, you know, they're really kind of targeting the cash cows, if you will, across this country, and basically, you know, providing the tax cuts, the majority of the tax cuts to red states.
Now, two of the issues that have gotten a fair amount of attention has been the treatment of health care, including the individual mandate, and also how apparently graduate students would be impacted. Could you briefly explain what those two issues are?
Sure. So in particular on the health care side, right, the House, you know, obviously had many efforts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, many of which, you know, fell short, certainly, on the Senate side. But the reality is, you know, the House doesn't deal with health care in its tax bill. which is a good thing, right? You know, we shouldn't be dealing with the healthcare issue at the same time we're dealing with the tax issue. I think they're two totally separate and distinct issues. But the Senate, on the other hand, what they do is they repeal the individual mandate that was in the Affordable Care Act. That requires people to purchase insurance and or pay a penalty if they don't. Right. So what that's basically going to do is once you remove the individual mandate, a lot of people will drop out. A lot of then premiums will rise and then people won't be able to afford health care any longer. So estimates have been as high as 13 million people losing access to their health care coverage. So, you know, this to me is one of the most significant differences between the House and the Senate bills. So it remains to be seen how that's going to be reconciled and whether or not that stays in or it goes out. So, you know, another toward the other end of what you were talking about, we're realizing that, you know, graduate students often get their tuition paid in exchange for the work that they do on campus. And basically what the bill would do then is tax that tuition amount, making it almost impossible for many students to continue to go to school because they're not going to be able to afford the taxes on that significant amount of tuition. So, you know, the reality is that there's so many things that are being changed in this tax bill. I wouldn't necessarily call it a simplification. One of the other interesting points is, you know, many of the benefits to lower income individuals tend to sunset earlier on, while many of the benefits to wealthy individuals, like the estate tax and the, you know, reduction in the corporate tax, continue on regardless. So I think, you know, it becomes very clear that, again, you know, this benefits the wealthy more than the poor and working class. And what we really need is to be able to make sure that we have a bottom-up approach to tax reform, right? This trickle-down approach clearly doesn't work. You know, we've seen it happen before. It didn't result in the type of growth that people suggested it would, yet here we are again, you know, deja vu all over again, where they're projecting these, you know, incredible amount of growth in the economy as a result of these tax cuts, when in reality we know that's not going to happen.
Could you maybe outline how some of the New York State congressional delegation is standing on this these tax proposals, and particularly, you know, the local ones here in the area, Faso, Tomko, and Stefanik?
Yeah, sure. So at this point, you know, the House already passed their tax bill. And they and the way they treated the state and local tax deduction, right? So initially, they eliminated the state and local tax deduction, and then in their revision, they basically said that we will allow people to deduct the first $10,000 in property taxes that they pay. But they don't allow for the deduction of income taxes. So, again, that hurts states like New York. So members of Congress in this district, Congressman Faso, Congressman Tomko, and Congresswoman Stefanik, thankfully all voted against the tax cut package that the House was advancing. We're hoping that they're going to continue with that no vote as we move on to the final version. You know, we also had some downstate Republican members of Congress, like Congressman Zeldin, Congressman King, voting against this bill as well, because they know it's going to hurt their constituents. And, you know, they're going to be running again for re-election. So they certainly don't want to be running for re-election knowing that they increase taxes on many of their constituents. I think they know better than that. They know that this is bad for New York, and they voted accordingly. So now it's really about, you know, putting some pressure on these members to continue that no vote. And, you know, helping them realize that, hey, this compromise bill is still bad for New York, you know, we need our members to vote against it.
Now, both houses are now negotiating, or will begin negotiating, the differences between the two bills. Apparently, They would come back, you know, for a final vote in both houses. Can you maybe outline what the timeline is expected to be for this process? And, you know, for the listeners who may be concerned about how their taxes will be impacted, you know, how can they weigh in?
Right. So, you know, the timeline is a little bit unclear. You know, they were choosing members to serve on the conference committee that will, you know, try and iron out the differences. But as I said, you know, that is a bit of a sham. It seems like this is really going to take place at the leadership level. So negotiations are already underway as to how we can, fix the differences between the two bills in an acceptable fashion for both houses. Whether or not then we move to a bill and a vote next week, the week after, that remains to be seen. But clearly, you know, they have a target date of before Christmas to deliver this to the president. So they're going to be moving very quickly. And I think it's really time for citizens to weigh in right now. You can call your members of Congress, tell them not to vote for this tax scam, and let them know that you don't support it and that they shouldn't either, and that you'll remember how they voted in November.
We've been talking with Ron Deutsch, Executive Director of Fiscal Policy Institute. Ron, how do people keep on top of what the Fiscal Policy Institute is doing?
So you can check us out on the web at www.fiscalpolicy.org. I would also recommend, if you want some up-to-date information on the changing nature of the tax bill, that you check out the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities website. That would be www.cbpp.org.
And this has been Mark Dunley for WOOC.
That was WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley talking with the Executive Director of the Fiscal Policy Institute, Ron Deutsch, about the concerns and impacts of the tax bill, what the concerns and impacts the tax bill will have on the different classes of citizens.